It was just last Thursday, actually, that Dave phoned me. I think it was Thursday evening that he phoned me. He'd got to the site here, and I was still at home in Romford. And he said, John, do you think you'd have anything to say on the subject of finding your feet? And I took a deep breath and said, well, give me a little time, and I'll pray about it, and I'll see. And I do believe that God has given me just a few simple things to share with you this evening concerning this subject of finding our feet. May I ask how many of you have come to festival this year for the very first time? This is the first festival you've ever been to. Stick your hand right up in the air. Look at that. That's quite a contingent, isn't it? How many have been before? Put your hands up. That's good. At least we've got some friends. How many have been to three festivals? How many have been to all four? Well, that's interesting. Good. Well, it's great to have old friends with us here this evening. And it's good to have a good company of new people as we've moved to this site. I do believe that God is going to be speaking to us during this coming week. Now, that must be obvious. I'm sure many of us have come here with a desire in our hearts to hear God. Perhaps you're used to a little bit of extravagance at festivals sometimes with the music and with the dance and with the freedom that there is. I think that's great and we want to maintain that. But I do believe that during this week, as Christine has said to us, there are going to be some painful dealings with God. If a tree is going to bring forth more fruit, very often work has to be done on that tree in order that it will accomplish the fruit, in order that it will bring forth. And I'm sure that this is a time for many of us for God to do things in our lives, to rearrange us, to change us around. And so I want to say to you right at the start of this week, and in this meeting in particular, I want a response from you this evening. We usually find that it takes round about 2 or 3 days for people to relax and for folk to come to a place where they're willing for God to start speaking into their lives. Now, I think if we do that, we're going to miss a great deal. And I want to call for us at the close of this meeting, for many of us in different ways, to stand and to say, Lord, I am opening myself up to you tonight for you to speak to me all the way through this week. There are 5,000 or so people going to be on site during the week. Every one of them has different needs. We're all from different backgrounds. But each one of us is unique, and every one of us has different needs. Some of us are desperate. We've come here desperate for God's guidance. Others of us are in financial difficulties. Some of us here this evening are actually here on fire for God because we feel we've got His call upon our lives, and we want to hear some direction from Him. Perhaps there are some here that have been hurt by Christian friends, and they're needing healing. They're needing the healing touch of God in the deepest part of their being. Some of you have lost relationships. Some of you are concerned about your work, your job. Others are longing for the Holy Spirit. We're all here with different needs. Some of you don't know why you've come. You've just come, maybe through some miraculous quirk, I was going to say, of fate or of God's dealings, providential luck. You're here this evening. Some of you have actually been dragged along almost unwillingly by friends. But I want to say that God has ordained that we should be here this evening. And this week, if we choose to respond to Him, it will be a part of His healing process in our lives. Isaiah 44 and verse 1 says, "But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and will help you. Fear not. Fear not." If God is going to say some hard things to you this week, do not be afraid. Fear not. "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and like grass, and my blessing upon your offspring. They shall spring up like grass amid waters, like willows by the flowing stream. This one shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and surname himself by the name of Israel." I believe God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him during this week. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour His Spirit upon the dry ground of our thirsty lives. He wants us to be like willow trees beside the flowing waters, that we might go out of here in the power of his love and the power of his spirit. When I read this scripture, I thought of actually writing on my hands this evening, the Lord's. I felt my name was John the Lord's Israel. I've changed my surname. I've called my name by the name that God gave to his people, Israel. John the Lord's Israel. A prince ruling with God. And tonight we're called together to be the people of God ruling with him and going out from this place with new power to rule. So let's take courage this evening and let's see faith arise in our hearts in order that God might do what he wants to do with each one of us. Now, when I say that I want to refer us to three books of the Bible this evening, your hearts could drop because you say, what on earth time are we going to get out of this hall? I just want to mention these books. You may want to go away and read them as a result of some of the things that I say this evening. But they're three books which are in the Old Testament, little books, short books, linked together. I believe the order is very important. Certainly it's very important to what I have to say tonight. They're the books of Ezra, of Nehemiah, and of Esther. As far as my life's concerned, God has spoken into my life many times from these books. And I believe that he is speaking to the church from these books too. And remember, the order is significant. And I think as we just refer to them this evening, we'll find our feet, perhaps in a variety of ways. Find our feet in order to be able to stand secure in the presence of God. To be able to stand secure in our relationships together, and to be able to stand against the devil, who we realize through the prophecies we've been having this evening and through the things God has been saying in the meeting that we are going to do increasing battle with, in Jesus' name. First of all, the little book of Ezra. Ezra is to do with the house of God. It speaks about the rebuilding of the house. We don't need to have a sermon this evening to tell us that God is building a temple in these days. God looked down into the quarry of the earth and he saw you. And he said, I am choosing you to be a stone in the temple that I'm going to occupy and fill with my glory. You have been chosen to be a part of God's temple this evening. It's a book that deals about our hearts and our relationship with God, because the temple is the place where God dwells. The temple is the place where God can have an intimate relationship with you as an individual and with us as his people. Right at the very heart of the temple, you'll find that there is an altar, a place of sacrifice. And that place of sacrifice is also the place of deep worship before the Lord. In Revelation chapter 11, you'll find that God reveals to us there in that chapter that before his son returns to take up his position as Lord upon this earth so that all can see him, the temple of God is going to be opened. In other words, the building is going to be complete. Everything is going to be in its place. The glory of God is going to descend. His presence is going to come into the temple. And it is going to be opened so that the world out there can have a look at the people of God enjoying their relationship with the Lord and see God in the midst of his people. And so at the beginning of chapter 11, God sends a messenger to go to the temple and to go right into the Holy of Holies and measure the altar and those who worship there. And I believe that during this week, God, not in any condemnatory sense, he is looking with his measure, with his yardstick, to see whether we measure up and whether we are able to be that people that will be unveiled before the world, that they may see the Lord in our midst. The altar is the place of sacrifice and it's the place of worship. And beloved brothers and sisters, during this week, God is going to call some of us to make sacrifices during this time. What are you holding back from God? What is it that you're afraid to release to him? I want to say that if you keep something from God, ultimately you'll lose it. But as you lay it down upon the altar of sacrifice, you'll have it back in resurrection life. Whether there's some secret sin, a boyfriend or girlfriend, whether it's money, whether it's your sickness, whether it's just simply the fact that life is boring and you don't feel there's a great deal of joy about it all. Perhaps life is unrewarding to you or painful to you. Well, I want you to come right here tonight and say, Lord, I want to lay these things right there upon the altar of sacrifice, and I want to worship you, and I want to come to your feet. Beloved brothers and sisters, the altar and the throne are one. And when we find his feet, then we'll find our feet. Coming to the feet of Jesus is the place of true security. And I want to call you tonight. And some of you at the end of this meeting, I want you to stand and say, Lord, I'm going to seek your face tonight as I've never sought your face before during this week. Because I know that as I come to your feet, then I will find security to be able to stand on my feet. I just want to read an old hymn to you. It's number 70 in the Redemption Hymnal. Some of you, that takes you back, doesn't it? We're not going to sing it, but I'll just read it to you. My goal is God himself, not joy or peace, nor even blessing, but himself my God. 'Tis his to lead me there, not mine, but his. At any cost, dear Lord, by any road. So faith bounds forward to its goal in God, and love can trust her Lord to lead her there. Upheld by him, my soul is following hard, till God hath fulfilled my deepest prayer. No matter if the way be sometimes dark, no matter through the cost, although the cost be oft times great, he knoweth how I best can reach the mark. The way that leads to him must needs be straight. One thing I know, I cannot say him nay. One thing I do, I press toward my Lord. My God, my glory here from day to day, and in the glory there, my great reward. And although we can't sing that hymn here tonight, I just want to ask you that you will be able to make that your prayer and your response to God. Second book I refer you to is the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah speaks about the buildings of the walls. And you might say, why does not Nehemiah come before Ezra? Why is it that we have to build the house first? It was a very vulnerable thing to have to do because we need protection from the walls. But basically, I believe that in spite of all the threats, the most important thing is our relationship to God. If we get that sorted out, then we can begin to build the walls, which speaks about living and working together in harmony. Tonight is going to be a night where some people say, by God's grace, I'm going to find a way to be able to relate to other Christians and work with them. And that's going to be hard for some of you because, as I said earlier, you have been hurt. Others have dealt shabbily with you. They have cut you off. They've left you bleeding and dying in the road. And you say now, all I want to do is survive in a relationship with God, and I'm not too worried about other Christians. But tonight God is challenging you and saying that the manifestation of his love on the earth depends on a group of people being in a working and living relationship together. And so we need to begin to see that God wants not an earthly Israel, as there was all those thousands of years ago and still is today, but he wants a spiritual Israel of people that are gathered together into their families, into their households, into their families, into their tribes, and into one nation, which will be a demonstration of the power of God in his people throughout the earth. We have to find our feet together if God is going to get glory in our generation. And so Jesus' people come together. Remember that thing that we did years ago, that musical that we put on, Come Together? Well, it was at the very last Come Together that we did that Bob Gilman wrote that lovely song, Bind Us Together. And coming together is okay, but God has to bind us together. Our job is that we provide, I was going to say, an alternative society. It's not an alternative society. It is the society, a visible society that the world can look into and see the power of God that cuts across all the cultural divisions, all the class divisions, all the economic structures that there are, And we have learned to live together, to laugh together, to cry together, and to die together to the glory of God. And so some of you are going to find your feet tonight by finding your brother's feet and your sister's feet. And you're going to take a towel and you're going to wash the feet of your brothers. Because when you find the feet of your brother and of your sister, then you find your feet. Find God's feet. Find his feet here in the church, because Jesus lives in every brother and sister that's here. And so some of you are going to say to the Lord this evening, I want to respond to you, Lord. I want to move out towards you in order that I might build with others, that I might work with others to the glory of God. Finally, the third book, the book of Esther. It's a charming story. Well, no, it's more than a charming story. It's a challenging story and a powerful story of a woman's response to God. The wonderful thing about our God is that he hasn't suddenly woken up to the challenge of feminism. He knew all about it thousands and thousands of years ago. And invariably, he singled out, sometimes when there was no one responding in a nation, he would single out someone who would respond to him, someone like Ruth, the Moabitish woman, who had no right to a place in God's economy and God's plan. But she touched God and God included her in, and she became the great-great-grandmother of David and the great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus himself. And here is another woman responding to God and going right into the throne room, risking everything that she had in order to bring deliverance to the people of God. And tonight Esther represents a church that has given up thinking about bless me, and it's saying bless God, O my soul. Hallelujah. It's what Psalm 134 says. Come, brothers and sisters who stand by night in the house of the Lord, and not bless me, but bless the Lord. And it's coming. The darkness is coming. Difficulty and strife is going to be across the face of the earth. Isaiah prophesied it. Other passages of Scripture prophesy it. But you and I can stand in the presence of God and in the darkness, and we can say, come, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord who stand in his house. Jerusalem is going to be established. It's coming down out of heaven in order that Babylon might fall. Praise God. God is giving you and I power to find our marching feet, to get on the offensive. Having become secure with God, finding more and more security with one another, we can say, okay, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can put our gospel shoes on and we can start getting out there and marching to the glory of God. It's no coincidence that Graham Kendrick has produced that lovely record to encourage us to march. I believe God wants us to march with manners and with praises in our hearts in order that we should begin to see Satan on the run. You say to me, Satan is already defeated. Yes, 2,000 years ago, Jesus defeated Satan on the cross there. And Satan fell, as it were, from heaven. But God has given us the privilege of sharing the victory with Jesus. Jesus has won the victory. It is already accomplished in the heavenlies. But he said, by the same Spirit, you, brothers and sisters here tonight, can join with him and be participants in the victory. Hallelujah. When the 70 returned in Luke chapter 10, it says they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to do what? To tread upon serpents and scorpions. And I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. And I want to say that that scripture says that nothing can hurt us. And yet every single one, I believe, of those disciples, according to tradition, was murdered, was persecuted, was purloined. And in many ways they were physically hurt. But the scripture says, do not fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can cast the soul into hell. And tonight, we are not to fear physical pain and physical suffering, even though mentally that gives us problems. The grace of God is going to abound in the saints, and we know that we shall never be hurt, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And should we die in the cause of Christ, then we shall rise again and live with him forever and forever and forever. Praise the Lord. So tonight, some of us are going to find our feet so that we can tread on Satan's neck. Finding our feet to get our feet on Satan's head so that we can bring him captive to the throne of God's grace. Jesus having done the work on the heavenlies. Jesus in us by the power of his Spirit doing the work here in the earth. Let's respond to the Lord Jesus tonight. Can we say no to him? Not out of any sense of condemnation, but because his Spirit of love is pressing in on us. Let us respond to Jesus. There are three responses, as I've said. And I'm going to ask you, just where you're sitting, first of all, to raise your hand if one of these particular categories applies to you. And if you need to say at the beginning of this week, Lord, I want you to speak to me about my relationship with you. I really want to hear from you this week, that I might go away with a renewed love for you, for your throne, for your purposes, for your testimony in the earth. And if that's the case, then just quietly, will you raise your hand here in this, I'm going to call it an auditorium, but whatever it is, bless you, there's a whole load of people over here, some in the center, and many over there. Just keep them up for a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute. Okay, put your hands down. Some of you are going to need to respond and say that you are aware that God is going to deal with you concerning your brothers and sisters. You may have a certain resentment in your heart. There may be bitterness there that needs to be dealt with. There may be just fear. You've been hurt once. You love the church, but you're just holding back. And you need to hear God during this week and through the seminars and the different things. You need to say, Lord, I want to hear you speak to me about where I should build, who I should build with, and how I should build. And I'm going to need all the love you can give me, Lord. Will you raise your hand as well, every one of you that feels that God needs to speak to you about that? Quite a number. Praise the Lord. If there's fear in your heart, just lift your hand to the Lord and say, the Lord's speaking to me, fear not, bless you. Okay, we want you to stand too in a moment. Put your hands down. And finally, I believe this does apply to many perhaps that have already put their hands up. God is calling us to enter into a new phase of battle with him. Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. And that's not just talking to us as individuals. Ephesians is about the church. It's talking to the church. Church, put on the whole armor of God in order that you might be able to stand and see the enemy routed and defeated. And so if God is going to speak to you this week about battle, then you raise your hand. He's going to be with you. No need to be afraid. He's going to be with you. Lift your hands now, will you, as well? Okay. Praise the Lord.